Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. I wanted to explore the idea of this new world order, but not from like a Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum standpoint, but kind of a monetary system new world order, or a monetary system great reset agenda. Oh, you gotta love the global elite, right? So let's get into it, because I think it's a very interesting thought experiment. I want to start by doing a quick screen share and going over to Zero Hedge, and they highlight what is happening possibly with China and Saudi Arabia actually selling treasuries. Now, if you've been watching my whiteboard videos, you know that to me, this makes a lot of sense. And I'm taking this idea from my good friend, Luke Groman. And if you think about China's position, you know, why would they want to hold treasuries if they're producing the stuff that we use in the world? And this is their asset. You know, this is what makes their economy strong, or one of the things that makes it function well, to the degree that it's functioning well. But what they're short on is energy. So what they're doing is they're holding basically long-dated dollars in the form of treasuries, and then just hoping that these treasuries maintain their purchasing power relative to the energy that they need to buy down the road. Well, if those long-dated dollars are losing a lot of purchasing power relative to the price of oil, which is the main energy that they're focused on, then that's a bad deal. You're producing all of this stuff. You're working very hard to produce more than you consume, and you're saving the rest in order to buy energy in the future, but those savings are depreciating in value. Your purchasing power is actually going down. So they are incentivized to hold something that will maintain its purchasing power relative to oil to a greater degree than dollars are right now. So then let's move over to Saudi Arabia. Okay, well, their deal with the United States was, hey, this petrodollar system thing, you know, when was it, 1973, 74? I believe Kissinger was involved. He says, listen, let's go ahead and have you guys sell your oil in dollars, and what we'll do is we'll be your military. And fast forward to 2020, or 2022, excuse me, and Saudi Arabia is looking around saying, yeah, we saw that Afghanistan deal, and that didn't give us too much confidence in the United States military, and therefore we may be getting the short end of the stick by selling our oil for dollars. There's not as much motivation or incentive as there was before. So now you see Saudi Arabia actually doing military deals with other countries, and you can't blame them, right? But if you're doing those military deals with other countries for your security, then you don't really need to continue to sell your oil in dollars. Therefore, if they're not selling, or they're selling less oil for dollars, then they would have less of a need to buy treasuries. See, what's happening, or what did happen, is they would take all those dollars, just buy treasuries, and that's what would keep our interest rates artificially low, because we had the reserve currency. That was one of the things, that one of the dynamics at play. But again, if they're not selling their oil, or less of their oil for dollars, they can take whatever currency they're receiving, let's say yuan, and they can buy some sort of reserve asset that they feel will maintain its purchasing power to a greater degree. I think that might be gold, but we'll have to see what plays out here. So this was the initial idea that was presented by Zero Hedge. I'm expanding on it to a great degree. Their idea was just that, hey, maybe China and Saudi Arabia are going to start selling their treasuries or buying less of them, and we need to look at the tick data that will come out, I believe, in maybe Q2, Q3, to determine what's happening. Right here, and I'll highlight this, they say that there's a two-month lag in the tick data. And what this is it's just telling us how many treasuries foreigners are buying and owning. So that said, let's move over to this article from Wolf Street. And it's not current, but it goes back, I believe this is 2020 or so. and it shows the U.S. government debt held by foreigners. And actually, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Let's start where it says foreign creditors. All foreign investors combined, foreign official holders such as central banks, private sector, they dumped $44 billion in U.S. treasuries in April. Now, this is going back to 2020. But what I find interesting when you look at this chart is look at the trend lines. So going back to the GFC or even prior, you see this trend line was kind of at about this angle. So when we hit the GFC, it really skyrocketed. The angle went far more extreme, the trend. But we look at, let's call it 2014. Now, what happened in 2014? That was Crimea. And that's when the United States first started, maybe they did it prior to this, but that was the in the last 10 or 15 years, let's say 20 years, that's the last time that the U.S. imposed sanctions on Russia. So I don't think that it's a mystery as to why this trend line that was going just straight up to the right, if you can follow my arrow, starts really leveling off. And then by 2015, just completely flatlines until we get to 2019. Why? Because all of these foreigners saw that, hey, the United States is willing to impose sanctions, not just on North Korea or Venezuela or Iran, but a major player in the U.S. economy, a major exporter of oil. Therefore, if they're willing to do it to Russia, maybe they're willing to do it to us. And therefore, let's hold fewer treasuries. Let's try to work some other deal. Let's try to do business in other currencies outside of the dollar. So the United States doesn't have this type of control over us if they deem in the future that we are now the bad guys. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Moving down the article, Japan and China are the two largest foreign creditors of the United States since 2018. So they're buying the most treasuries. They have gone opposite ways, though. Or I'm sorry, they're not buying. They are the largest creditors as of 2018, but they've gone opposite directions. So Japan is buying more and more and more treasuries, where China is buying fewer and fewer treasuries, if not selling on net balance. So it says China unloaded $19 billion in April of 2020. And it looks like Japan, again, oh, here we can see what this chart shows you specifically what's happened. And look, again, going back to 2014, Crimea, look at what China did. It just, boom, just straight down started selling treasuries or not buying as many when they matured. They weren't rolling them over. Where right here in 2018, as this article states, Japan started buying more and more. So now let's kind of explore the other sovereigns or the other financial institutions, well, the other countries, I guess, that are holding a lot of these treasuries within their banking system. It says the next 10 major holders are mostly tax havens and financial centers, including the UK, London being this financial center, Belgium and Ireland, where many US corporations, including Apple, have mailbox entities where they register part of their global profits to get around the US tax system. This results in some of their U.S. Treasury holdings being held in entities in Ireland, banks in Ireland. And this is why you see right here the top 10, UK, Ireland, Luxembourg, Brazil. I'm assuming that's because they're a big exporter of commodities. But then Hong Kong, Switzerland, all these Cayman Islands, all of these financial locations. Now, look at what Saudi Arabia has done. It says right below there, the top 10 list, or the 10 outside of China and Japan. Saudi Arabia has fallen off the list as it has dumped one-third of its holdings, slashing them from $184 billion in February to $125 billion in April. And this is in 2020. I would assume those trends have continued. So my point with the video is exploring this idea of a monetary new world order. And I think what you'll see moving forward is this bifurcation in the global economy, therefore a bifurcation in the global monetary system. It's not going to happen overnight by any stretch. I'm not saying that the dollar or the euro dollar system isn't going to be around in 3 years or 5 years, or the dollar is not going to be the reserve currency. But I'm saying, I think gradually, or maybe it'll happen, or maybe the bifurcation will happen quickly, even though the dollar will maintain its reserve status and the euro dollar system will remain intact. What could happen at a faster pace is these countries such as Saudi Arabia, Russia, India, China, switching to a monetary system where the majority of the settlements aren't dollar based. Therefore, the reserve assets that they're holding as a result of selling their exports, whatever they may be, whether it's energy or stuff, they're holding those reserve assets in a form that might not be dollar-based. Therefore, this would put significant pressure, upward pressure, on yields at the long end of the treasury curve. This would mean higher interest rates, most likely, over the long term here in the United States. So then the question becomes, what do those higher interest rates do to an economy that is extremely, extremely dependent upon artificially low interest rates for the level of consumption? And of course, the stock market and the economy is very dependent on those levels of consumption remaining extremely high. So it's this, it's kind of an interesting thought process or thought experiment, like I said at the beginning of the video. And I think it's something that we should all consider, because what we're trying to do with our portfolios, especially if you're dollar-based, is try to say, okay, how do I increase my purchasing power? And if you've got Saudi Arabia, India, Russia, China, basically the East, moving more towards their own monetary system and reserve assets, that means that the dollars that your portfolio is denominated in will most likely depreciate in value relative to goods and services over the long run. I'm not saying that it just completely tanks overnight, but another reason why I'm holding a lot of commodities or I'm waiting for a good opportunity to buy commodities. So we'll go ahead and leave it at that, guys. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you in the next video.